Turn to one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. That's always difficult when you're preaching, because it's so close to you, you know. But let's take a look at it. Isaiah chapter 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I'll give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I'll bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord. Depart from me, there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declared the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Well, we'll stop there. It's more than enough for the next 20 minutes. If you had lunch in my house this morning, and many of you did, and it was lovely to have you for lunch, you may have looked up the stairs and seen the little sort of artistic plaque scroll thing at the top of the stairs with some writing on. Unless your Portuguese is good, you wouldn't have understood what it said. It was a Bible verse. And the Bible verse is from Isaiah 43. It's in Portuguese. It was done by a friend of mine who's an artist by profession. And he knew this was one of my favourite verses, my favourite passages in the whole of the Bible. So it was a little souvenir. He gave us the plaque. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I thought, I can concentrate on that in the sermon. But then, you know, you read on and you read verse 11. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no saving. Now, there's a good sermon in there, isn't there? Beautiful, beautiful verse. But I opted in the end for verse 18. It's a sort of way into this chapter. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Because commenting on this, in preparation for this, I was reading Alex Mateer's Bible commentary, a beautiful Bible commentary, and he says this: the past can teach, but it must not bind. The past can teach, but it must not bind. I think it struck me then that many of us are bound by the past. God is trying to move us forward, and we're anchored to the past. And perhaps for some of us, our past has been miserably wretched. Certainly for Israel's existence around the time of the Babylonian captivity, their immediate past was utterly wretched. It was miserable. Their nation had been destroyed. All those things they built, those houses they built themselves, those allotments they planted with vegetables and nurtured and manured down the years to get the vegetables growing. That was their pride, you know, their clothes that they bought for that wedding, that they just loved that dress, they just loved that suit or whatever. Okay, just going off on one here. But, you know, kind of thing, the jewelry they bought, the decor in the house, the little ornament they had, their little house, they were so proud of it. The business they built up, all flattened overnight by the Babylonian army. And the people were literally chained and marched into captivity to what's now Iraq. And they had to start life in refugee camps. And it took them decades to build up their lives again so they had some kind of decent lifestyle. And so their immediate past was frankly wretched. It was poverty, it was misery, it was violence. And it was awful. And God is trying to move them on. He's saying, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. That brokenness, that wretchedness is part of your history. Learn from it, but move on from it, because I've got good things for you in the future. See, it's never meant to be like that. That Israel as a nation was supposed to be a model nation. A nation that had good, generous, honest laws that protected human rights. A place that was peaceful, stable, prosperous. It was supposed to showcase to the world what following God could do to you as a nation, how good life could be. Which was, contrast that, for example, with the headlines we were looking at in our time of intercession, of the things that are wrong in Britain. Israel was supposed to be better than that. It's supposed to be a good place to live, a wonderful place to bring up your children, a place where worshipping God was second nature, a place so good that pagans would emigrate and would come into Israel as migrant workers and settle there and be so impressed they would take on Israel's God and be sort of grafted into the nation. It was supposed to be that good, but it wasn't in the end. All went horribly wrong. And in the end, it got so bad that God said, actually, you know, these pagan nations around you, they're doing a better job of being a nation than you are. Alec Mateer, commenting on it, says, it's grimly sad that those who worship false gods and no gods often arise above what their religion inspires. But the people of the true God live below their dignity and fail the God who has illuminated them. And the people, in their misery, in their sinfulness, in their wretchedness, they kind of abandon God. And they come to the point in believing that God hadn't been there ever, that God hadn't been with them in the bad times, that they'd been abandoned by God. And this whole section of Isaiah is just screaming out that God has not abandoned you, God is with you. And it's kind of questioning, do you believe that he's directing your life now? God is saying to people, do you believe I'm directing your life now? Okay, at the moment you're confused, you're poor, You're disorientated. You're hopeless. You're oppressed. You're despised. You're second-class citizens. But do you believe I'm with you? If I said that to you this evening, would you say that God's with you in your circumstances, facing your future? Would you trust that God's with you? If you're a Christian in a Democratic Republic of Congo or Pakistan or Iran, would you believe it then if you lived there under that kind of oppression? How much would you believe it when you're under pressure? How much do you believe it when you're in tension? How much do you believe it when you're frightened? So Isaiah begins by saying, look, your past was always under God's sovereignty because you belong to him for eternity. I have a Bible reading structure, the Bible in a year kind of thing, that takes me through the whole of Scripture in 12 months. And I just, it'll be about July, August, I'm getting around to this passage. But I just always look forward to coming to this passage because, speaking personally, this is one of the passages that God has used with me when I've been most down and most just getting nowhere and just feeling, you know, why am I bothering? What's the future got? When you pass through the waters, says God, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. In fact, in the first three verses, the first opening verses of this chapter, God talks about creating the people. I created you, I formed you. In fact, God uses the same words here that are used in the Genesis account of the creation of the world. And it's God says, I created you, I formed you, I made you in the same way that I created the world. I made you, you're that important to me. God says, I made you, I created you, I formed you, you're mine. You're important. You mean the whole wide world to me. You mean everything to me, says God. And that again and again has spoken to me when I've been really down, really worried, really frightened. God said to me, Peter, you're mine. I created you for myself. I made you, he says, for my glory in verse 7. Whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You are mine. Because we go through suffering. If you take a look at Psalm 34, verse 19, for example, the righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them. The man has many problems, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's what the Bible promises. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You'll have problems. You'll go through fire. You'll go through the waters. You'll feel like you're wading through the rivers from time to time. But I am with you, says God. You are important to me. And then he goes on to say, you're in the hands of the Saviour. Apart from me, there's no Saviour. He's the unstoppable God, verse 12. I've revealed and saved and proclaimed. God is unstoppable when he's on your side. God is completely unstoppable when he's working on your behalf. God wants you to be with him. And he created you to be with him. And God just loves having a people who are his people. Difficult to get, you know, just by being you, just by loving God with honesty and integrity and sincerity and simplicity, you make God happy. just by being you, just by in this world full of all the things we've been looking at early in our service, in our times of intercession, all the rubbish, all the junk, all the stuff that's going on, God is just delighted to have his own people in the world. That's you. You make God smile every time you wake up because you're his. And he just loves having a people. Just loves having a people. So yeah, you've been through fire. Yeah, you've been through the rivers. Yeah, you've been through the floods. But God says, look, I know that. I know that. But there's never been a moment of your life when I've not been with you. Because I've created you to be with me forever. That's why he says in verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the far past. Your future belongs to me. Even though it might lie through the desert, through a difficult route, your future lies with God. Chapter will go on to remember the people's failures. But in verse 25, just jump to verse 25. Despite that, if God remembers their failures, and God says, yeah, you know, you've let me down. I know you've let me down, but listen, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Clean slate. Fresh start. It's what God gives us in Jesus. I was watching. I don't have time to watch television a lot, so just pick up when I got a moment. But there's one sort of series. You know, there's always a series or two in a week that I just like to follow. It's good. You know, to fight from one week to the next. And I, excuse me about this, but I'm into a program called Grand Designs, which is about architecture. And you don't want to know if you don't want to know. But every week they look at somebody who's building their kind of dream house. And most of the time I look at it to shout at the screen, idiots, what are you doing that for? You know, too much money, too much time. But just occasionally you come across somebody who you just admire. And there's one week they had a guy who was a carpenter by trade, a joiner and carpenter, odd job man, married to a lovely Japanese lady, living out in the Fenlands. And he dreamt of having his own sort of self-sufficient acreage. And he bought this plot of land that I guess most people wouldn't give much for. But he bought it. And while his wife planted out trees and fruit trees and all kinds of vegetables and so on. He planted willow as well for firewood to keep them self-sufficient. And then he built this house out of wood. Built it all himself. He made the wood. He even made the banisters out of the trees he'd grown from his land. And at the heart of this building, at the heart of the building, he found an oak tree. A ruined oak tree. It had been cut down or died, I think. But this oak tree must have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. You could just see it was hollow in the middle, you know, as they are, and just massive thing. But it had fallen down or whatever. So he got this oak tree, and he built the house around it. He put this oak tree that was going to be thrown out and burnt for firewood. He put it in the middle of the house. Then he cut stairs around it, made it into a spiral staircase. And on top of that, this oak tree was so strong, it was holding up the whole of the first floor. All sort of beams just came into this thing. And he had little bits he opened, he built little cupboards into this oak tree under the stairs. It looked like it was the most amazing thing we've ever seen in his life. And it's just what I thought, gosh, you know, this thing was being thrown out. Nobody wanted this oak tree. And it's been thrown out. What's this guy done? He's built it into something that holds up a whole house. You know? I thought, you know, God does that with people. People who are going to be thrown out. People who are written off. People who are considered as nothing and no one. God takes them and builds them into something, into a structure, a church, builds them into a Christian community, and makes them useful, makes them beautiful, makes them wonderful, transforms their life. God is in the business of taking rubbish and turning it into something beautiful and new and wonderful. And maybe you're saying, Peter, that's exactly what God did with me. And maybe, I know some of you have stories of life that have gone severely wrong, and yet God has just brought you, you're back. And that's what God does. God's in the business of redemption. It's God's business to redeem, to make something that was rubbish and considered as nothing in the world as precious. You know, that oak tree, you wouldn't have walked past it. You'd have thought, you might have seen it gone and said, oh, that make nice firewood. You look at that thing now in this guy's house and everyone says, oh, look at that. You know, everyone says, wow. Because it's become something precious. It's become something priceless. And that's what this passage is all about. God says, I redeemed you. I made you. I formed you. I'm delighted to have you on board. Now, can I just say this? Would you please take this sermon this evening into the dark place in your heart and your soul? Would you please take it into the dark moments when you feel worthless, when you feel fed up, when you feel it's not worth it, when you feel undervalued and under-respected? Will you please take this Bible passage into the darkness in your life and see that you are precious to God? Will you do that, please, as you walk through this week? When you walk into the office and the boss is getting at you and your workmates are swearing, would you please just remember how precious you are to God? Don't ram it down their throats, but just hold your head up high and be calm and remember that you are precious to God. When you're panicking about the exams and your revision's not going too well, will you please remember you are precious to God? And that exam isn't going to change that preciousness. Nothing in that exam is going to stop you being important to God. Will you believe that, please? When things are going bad, when things are going rotten this week, will you remember God redeemed you and God thinks you are brilliant. He just loves having a people. God doesn't want this world without a people that belong to him. You are fulfilling God's purpose by being his people. So please be his people tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, right through the week. Move on. Walk with Jesus. I know perhaps things haven't gone well in the past. Would you please walk on from that tonight? Please walk on from that tonight. Put that behind you because God has a beautiful path ahead of you. It might lie through some difficult times. But God has your heart and God has your well-being in his soul, in his plans. You're his. And nothing can change the fact that you belong to him. Bow our heads for a second, please. And we're going to commit ourselves now to God setting our pace. When you set the pace, if you read the words in white, Lord, when you call, I am willing. When you push the boundaries, I am willing. When you set the pace, I am willing. When you encourage, I am willing. When you set the challenge, I am willing. When you blow my mind, I am willing. When you reach out your hand, I am willing. When you apply the brakes, I am willing. When you change the course, I am willing. When you turn the tide, I am willing. When you pull the plug, I am willing. When you call another, I am willing. When you call, I am willing.